Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Good morning. Happy Monday. It's Monday. This is our first podcast of the year, and I'm Greg Hahn, President CIO of Winthrop Capital Management. With me is Adam Koons, Head of Trading, and works with me on portfolios. Hi, Adam.
Happy New Year.
Yep. So we said we were happy to be done with 2020, and we're happy to be done with 2020, and a week into this year, we're talking to people that say, "Well, I can't wait till 2022 now." It's been an amazing start to the year. In some regards, it's been gut-wrenching. So we're going to cover a lot today. We're going to talk a little bit about our democracy and what it means for investing. We're trying to keep it to that. And then we're going to talk about some of what's happening in the tech space as it relates to the events that are unfolding, and then kind of how we're getting portfolios structured for this year and the use of some equally weighted tools to help mitigate some growing concentration risk that we're seeing. But let me start this out. Normally, we do not talk about politics. So we try to keep politics out of our reports. We're really analysts. We're investment analysts and portfolio managers. We're not really politicians. And even though Adam and I might have an opinion, it doesn't really amount to anything. But what's really going on in our view is that we have an evolution in democracy. It's not the end of democracy. It's really an evolution, and it's been going on for 15 years. And that's really when we've got this two-party system that's been in gridlock over several administrations. And the Trump administration has really pushed this executive order and this partisan politics really to an extreme. But it isn't really that. I mean, in some regards, it's similar to what we experienced in parts of the Obama administration and then in the Bush administration as well. So this goes back to Clinton. And every indication that we're seeing is that the partisan politics is going to carry forward into the early part of the administration for the president-elect Biden. So we've written about this evolution of democracy, and it's really that. It's not, in our view, it's just a shift. And we came to this position over 10 years ago because we couldn't make sense in the financial crisis, the government interaction, direct interaction into the marketplace, and only through the lens of an evolving form of democracy and the evolving form of capitalism could we really do that. So what we've got, really, the landscape the way it exists today is two forms of capitalism. There's a Western form of capitalism that's, I think, epitomized by the United States, which is generally what we call free markets, but we got government intervention, so we got to kind of put a big old asterisk next to what free market really is. And then there's state-controlled capitalism, which is preached by China. Those two systems are really going to, I think, be the competitive, we're going to see this competition play out over the next 10 years. And the way to think about this is, if you think about China really doesn't have, there's some exports that China just doesn't have, like a car. You can't go to a dealership here and buy a Chinese car. But 10 years from now, picture an electric car that dominates the world coming out of China. Picture a manufacturing airplane that can compete with Airbus,
yep,
and Boeing. China has that capability. We think that they're intent on building it out. And so that, with the country behind it, it's a different form of capitalism that could compete. Now, what's happening, and Adam, you're going to talk about the delisting of the tech stocks, right? So we've got some competitive issues that are really starting to dismantle the integration of the globalization of these different countries, because China's form of capitalism plays by their rules, not by international standards for rules. So that's been part of the issue. So we've got this that we're trying to make sense of and invest in this context. And at the end of the day, bottom line is we still like China, even though China is being delisted. It's the question is, are this really going to be followed through, because it's being done through an executive order.
Right.
So let me stop here because I could go on and on. And let me, Adam, let's talk about what's going on in the capital markets, and then I'll feed in some of this other, some of the key drivers into our conversation.
Yeah, I mean, so before we step into the China stocks, we talk about Boeing and what's going on there. We've got an Indonesian plane that crashed. It was a 26-year-old 737, so this is not a MAX. This is not going to be another, you know, 737 MAX story. This is probably just an old plane that wasn't kept up very well, unfortunately. You know, at this point, it looks like from the data we have on Black Box yet. But
the stock was down last week.
Yeah, it was.
So we do not own Boeing.
No.
Boeing has recovered somewhat
from
its lows, but it's still down at low 200s.
Yes. So, you know, unfortunate story there, but I think from a long-term standpoint, it's not going to really affect Boeing and the turnaround story whatsoever. And then you've got, obviously, Greg, you talked about this a little bit, but we got Twitter. So, you know, Twitter is taking a stance against Donald Trump and banning him. You've got other social media outlets trying to make the same decision. So, you know, long-term, that really affects.
So this weekend, it's Apple, Facebook, Snap, Pinterest, Reddit. I mean, now all these companies are coming out saying, "I'm going to ban."
Right.
And I think up until this point, they struggled with what, you know, we're a free speech platform. It's not our position to ban. And that goes back to the election of 2016. Mm-hmm. When, the Russians were accused of manipulating the election. Well, so now it's I think this sets the table for what regulation could be for the tech industry now.
Yeah, totally. And it leaves the door open for, obviously, where censorship is taken and who really controls it.
Yeah, and Twitter has a policy. I mean, they identified their violence,
right,
anti-violence policy. So they have policies now about hate speech, but it's going to get, I think, I wouldn't be surprised to see lawsuits filed this week, just the way this whole issue on the free speech versus censorship.
Yep. So back on China. So in November, Trump issued a executive order to ban 30 Chinese companies that were said to be supporting China's military. And that was really the precipice for that delisting of those stocks. There's obviously more in-depth reasons for that, but that's the rationale.
But it was all telecom stocks.
Yes, for the most part. So your big stocks were China Mobile, China Telecom, and China Unicom. So, you know, last week we kind of went with this flip-flop where they're going to be delisted. The New York Stock Exchange came back and said, no, they're not going to be delisted. And then we got over the weekend, yes, affirmation that they are going to be delisted. Like I said, it's 30 different stocks. And so, while they try to figure that out, Alibaba and Tencent have struggled because they're kind of pulling into that. And there's the rumors of, okay, are they going to be delisted too? Despite the fact that they really have no known ties to China's military.
Gaming and music.
Right.
Part of the military.
Selling. Yeah, clothes. Yeah. So it really comes down to, you know, what this administration tries to do while it's on its outs and you know what they try to stir up. So there's a high likelihood that something happens here, and then it's just really going to come down to Biden and what he does.
So is Alibaba, is this a buying opportunity for those two?
I would say yes, and particularly Tencent. When you look at, because Alibaba has a few stories going on, right? They've got Ant and Jack Ma, and whether he's disappeared or not.
Sources in China say he's alive.
Yeah. But, you know, Tencent, really, there's no reason. They have nothing to do with any of this. And so, from their standpoint, they've got gaming is just, you know, taking off, over 20% growth this last year. So Tencent, absolutely buying opportunity. Alibaba, there's a few, you know, things that are going to have to be ironed out, but still believe it is a buying opportunity. And so one of ways we're expressing that in portfolios is buying ticker KWEB. So this is a Crane Shares China Internet stock ETF. So this gets us exposure to, like I said, Tencent, Alibaba, among other China internet-based companies. So that's one way of expressing that. So the other thing happening is obviously Tesla is firmly a part of the index and growing rapidly as it becomes.
So, and side note, Musk's the richest man in the world.
Yep.
That's amazing.
It really is. It just happens like that, right?
Yeah, they made money. Tesla made some money.
Yeah, they made some money. And so, you know, we were talking with Lance last week, and when you factor in, you know, option grants and everything like that, it's really a $1 trillion company right now.
Yeah.
And so what that's done in the consumer discretionary space, which is somewhat laughable because we're going to say consumer discretionary and then we're going to say the top two companies in that are really tech
right.
companies. Amazon and Tesla make up 40% of the index right now.
Yeah.
And so what we're looking at in portfolios is how do we mitigate that risk? There's obvious concentration risk in different sectors and indexes, but this is a big one with Tesla being one of the most volatile stocks kind of in the S&P right now. So we're looking at ticker RCD. That is an equal weight consumer discretionary ETF out of Invesco. Really not a lot of options there.
And the intent is to use this alongside
right.
the existing consumer discretionary sleeve, not to replace it, so that
correct.
We're still getting the exposure, and then this is a risk mitigator as opposed to using a derivative.
Yep.
But yeah, this is going to be a problem with the S&P 500 is that the large stocks, the top 10 stocks are concentrated.
Right.
And, so to be able to diversify those, and Tesla is the one that probably gives us the most angst right now given right. its valuation.
Totally.
And then IT, what about information technology, this tech sector?
So the same thing, looking at different options on the equal weight side, because you've got the same issue, right? You've got Apple and Microsoft make up a huge majority of that index. And then further, just technology in general is just, you know, over 40% of the S&P 500. So trying to mitigate risk, decrease concentration risk. But if, on the flip side, we're looking at, okay, if we're buying these ETFs, what stocks are we overweighting? And are we comfortable with that? So those are the decisions we're weighing right now.
So the key drivers for this year, we think two of the key drivers. One is obviously the COVID-19 virus and the ability to control the spread of that virus. So that we expect global U.S. domestic growth and global growth to pick up in the second half of the year once the vaccine really starts to be widely distributed and take effect. And it's obviously not going to happen instantaneously. And we are at what we describe the intersection right now, the intersection of the spreading coronavirus and the rush to distribute the vaccine. And I think what everything that I'm seeing from the President-elect Biden is that is a major focus for his administration is to make sure that vaccine gets administered quickly. So that's the one theme. The second theme related to that is the stimulus. And we saw at the end of last year a $900 billion package that was intended to support consumers and businesses. There was some discussion that and some expectation, I think, that with President-elect Biden, there'll be another round of stimulus that's really focused on helping consumers and families, as well as what we're reading is state and local governments,
yeah.
which was silent in the last package. But there's a reasonable chance now with the two seats from Georgia
yeah.
in the Senate that they might be able to get something through. So anyway, it's to pay for it, he's released his tax package. So I've not been all the way through it.
Nor have I.
But what I've been able to glean from it is what he said is that he's going to raise taxes on the wealthy. He wants to have a minimum tax for corporations. He also indicated a payroll tax increase, and he did address capital gains. So he's proposed pushing capital gains up to 40%, which is levels that we haven't seen since the late 70s.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, there's an initiative to pay for it, and we'll see if the economy can handle both the balance of the stimulus plus rising taxes. So. What else? Anything on your plate this week?
Just really briefly on the fixed income side, rates moved meaningfully higher last week. So 10-year finally got above 1% since March of last year. So we're at 111 on the 10-year right now.
Yeah.
And corporate credit spreads just continue to tighten. So as we see kind of corporate credit become a little bit more of a value, we've started to look in other areas and diversify. One of those things we've done over the last couple of weeks is add to senior loan, bank loans, ticker BKLN. So these are senior secured high yield loans. So this is going to act more like a high yield fund. But right now pays 3.25% or so, meaningful spread over any other investments we're seeing. And we like the risk profile here and recovery rate. So that's just something we're doing in fixed income.
Yeah, and the Fed has basically said we're keeping interest rates at low levels, which is going to support asset values, including valuations currently in the stock market, but also other financial assets, including real estate.
Yep.
So I think we would expect to see a recovery in commercial real estate. It never really seemed to me, it never got as bad as it did in 2008, 2009. And we might say, well, we're not out of the woods yet, but low interest rates is going to support higher PE multiples, which would be considered a traditional measure of valuation. But you know, we've struggled over the last few years of rationalizing some of these valuations. And I think as long as we have this kind of monetary policy with low rates, they're gonna be here for a while. So we're gonna have to continue to just digest it. All right. Adam, anything else that you're in?
Nothing here.
That's everything we've got today. So you guys have a great week, and we will talk to you through the week. Thanks.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.